here for the next hour. And we're here, of course, with the guys from Cray Wanderers, of course, massive friends of the show, of course. We've got Sam with us, we've got Neil with us, and we've got the superstar Ali with us as well. So she all with us as well. Before we start talking about Cray, it was something I was going to text Ali about, and I need to ask her the question because I read something on on X this morning before I went to work, and basically there was it was a game. Which is, I know you're going to start getting irate straight away, but there was a game, a non-league game being played. Young lad's gone in for a tackle. Looks like he's done his ACL injuries on the pitch, and all the referee was interested in doing was shifting the player off the pitch onto another pitch so that they could carry on with the game. And in the end, they left him there and moved to an adjacent pitch and played the game of football instead.
I saw that story. We had almost had a similar incident last season. I think sadly a player who was badly injured. I think it's just a bit sad sometimes, isn't it? I mean, forget about the player who's been injured and the obvious safeguarding of them. I think you've got to look at your teammates as well. And a lot of players, you've got to look at their well-being and their mental health when they've seen a teammate get really badly injured. I think it sounds like the medical, or I think it was probably coaches more than medical staff did the right thing. They looked after the player. I think it's just a shame, really, isn't it, when things like that happen. But I think ultimately we need to be all we'd be a bit more aware of our players and how they're feeling when things are happening. It's about the coaches, the fans, and we had a similar incident last year with Boxing Day when we had like 2 minutes left to play and we were struggling to get someone off the pitch when they were badly injured. But ultimately, you've got to do what's right for the player. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much training refs get in emergency care and about. When it's right to move and when it's not right to move. It's hard, isn't it? It's a hard call to make. It's easy when it's me making the call to end the game, but I hope the player has a really swift recovery.
So the last time we spoke to you guys, Sam's shown us pictures out the window of a what just looked like a car park was about to be built outside the window. And I mean, what a difference. Was it been a year? I think if I saw your post the other day, and it
Yeah,
looked
you get your
extremely
memories.
different.
Yeah, memories come up, don't they, on your social media? That memory popped up 12 months ago. I was getting excited about a digger levering a load of ground out. It was literally just going backwards and forwards, getting the levels right. And we was getting excited about it, but we still had the car park there with all the lines and the bays. And then you glance out the window and look at what we've got now. And it's amazing what you can achieve in 12 months after waiting so many years to actually get going.
I know. I'm pleased, though, Sam. How it's all gone.
I'm over the moon, mate. Honestly, every time you drive in, you kind of it just brings you back and reminds you that like how much has actually been done. Yesterday, you drive in here on a Sunday morning, it's like half eight, met the groundsman because he was worried about the overnight rain. Ironically, first league game of the youth team season, and we're worrying about pitches, and they were perfect and it was fine. But then you end up staying here for a few hours because the 18s are kicking off and new under 16 girls team was kicking off, and I just love the place. It's so good to finally be up and running. And we are blessed that we have got everything under one roof. Not many teams at our level that have got grass pitches with all their youth teams playing one side of the building and then their new stadium the other side.
I mean, is the rumour is true though that that your physio was hard to please because she wanted fridges and God knows what else in her physio room. I mean, it's like only second to Wembley, isn't it? Your physio room.
My agent has advised me not to comment any further on their current discussions.
There is a bit of a physio room gate going on at the moment, though,
We're
because
not,
someone left
definitely not.
a handwritten note in there, and Paddy's took offence to it, the kit man, because our physio room and the laundry room are adjacent to each other, and someone's left a note saying, "Very untidy." It's a bit of a
Question mark.
mess
There's
already,
a
Ali.
question mark on it. I mean, it wasn't my handwriting. We're gonna have to get some serious investigations going. I'll commence it tomorrow at training. I'll go around and do some handwriting analysis and we'll find out who it was, Sam. Don't worry. My money's on you, Sam, anyway. I don't know.
Well, I mean, what was it like for all of you, though, that first game when you got to play your first game on the first sort of once the stadium was completely finished and actually getting to play that first game on there? I mean, that must have been, just incredible for you all. Neil?
Yeah, as the manager of the club, I feel like I've cheated a little bit because some of these guys have waited so long for it to happen, and I've been there 2 years, and
Oh, he's frozen.
Everything they promised would happen regarding the ground has happened.
Yeah.
It's an amazing achievement from the director to get it up and running. Oh, am I there again?
You still
But
there? Yeah.
to lead them out, you know, it was a friendly, but to see the supporters coming in that were coming to have a look at this club as well and this ground was emotional, really, I think, for the directors. And you feel that emotion as well with the ex-players that turned up as well, because they're a major, major force in the history of Cray. And yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing night.
I guess you speak, the boss walks in the door. How are we, Gary?
Hi, great question.
I mean, Gary, we're just asking about the new ground, and last time we spoke to everybody, and it was, Sam was showing us pictures of a car park with a digger in it, and now it's sort of a year's time. I mean, you've done, your dreams come true.
Yeah, it's been amazing, really. Yeah, it's all just sort of come together. I mean, the construction game, so I knew what it's going to be like. Well, I must admit, it's actually turned out better than I thought it's going to be. So yeah, it's very pleasing, and seeing the crowds come in, all the lights rammed out there at the moment with all the youth teams on the Sunday, all on the grass pitches. So I think Sam said it in a few. It's unusual. We've got a 17 acre site where we've got all the teams now playing in one location, which is I think it's sort of fairly unique as well. So we've actually got a proper home where we've been so disjointed for so long. So yeah, it's very pleasing.
I mean, with it as well, I mean, results this year, I mean, going into it, I mean, how do you feel the season's going so far?
Yeah, we're still in the FA Cup, so my prediction is we've never had an FA Cup run in 30 years. Okay, what's that? One year the luck's got to all come together, so it could be this year. So that's it. Played well on Saturday, first game of the season, and it's I say to everyone, you don't realize how hard this league is. And you look at the teams, I think I counted up the other day, there's 10 teams that are sort of averaging around about 1,000 plus for home games, which is sort of unbelievable when you think about, the old Isthmian Premier days when it was sort of 300 or 400 and a big crowd was 600 or 700, Dartford, Dover, Chatham, Dulwich, you can go on, Folkestone. There is literally 10 teams that are averaging sort of around about 1,000 plus. So it's a really hard, really hard, really hard league. And obviously, first, all our concentrations have been on the game, on the ground. That's now open. So I think this year was more just stay in the league, hopefully a good FA Cup run, and then see where we are at the end of the season for push on next season.
Are you always amazed, though? That's a question for Neil. When you get to an FA Cup game, you go away to Larkfield and you draw 1-1, and then you bring them back to your place and win 8-0. I mean, it just don't make sense, does it, football?
No, but we played on a, it's a very tight pitch. Larkfield done really well as well, so can't take any away from them on the Saturday. They had a penalty, we saved it. Then they go and score. We score the equaliser, and then at home on our pitch, the players can get the ball down and play a little bit more than they could have done away from home. And don't get me wrong, it was the players every time we hit something, it seemed to go in. And I hope we've not wasted it
I mean, is it do
on one game. I hope we can spread them over the next couple. But no, it's cup football. You know what it's like. There's always a giant killer.
I mean, you get the 0-0 draw, get your first point, league point on the new ground against Horsham, and I mean, is that sort of like the first sort of step in the ladder you're hoping now for, to pushing it forward, especially at home in front of your own supporters?
Yeah, of course. Everything's new. Everything's the first game. We had the first game. We had the first league game. We had the first night game. We've had the first FA Cup game. And you're going to get every time you play a game. It's there's somewhere down the line. There's a first to it, and we've just got to just break that up. And just for us as a management and as a team, we've just got to worry about the game itself and not worry about making history and stuff like that. It is about now just concentrating on us. And I think we've been good in patches, we've been poor in patches, and it's just getting that consistency now.
I mean, what about yourself, Ali? I mean, you know, back into it and back into this amazing ground. I mean, for yourself, it must be, you know, incredible.
I think it's finally nice to have somewhere to call like truly home, isn't it? Somewhere where you can sort of defend and you can make it your own. You can make it into your into like sort of your castle. I think it's nice to. I mean, the club puts so much effort into making all of us just feel comfortable from the playing and the physio side. You know, you go into the changing room and it feels like it's the lads. You know, they've got their names on the wall. The changing room is beautiful. You go into the physio room and the volunteers like Alan. They've got shelves up for me and they've got a fridge and they've. You know, they've made a real effort to make us feel like we're at home now. And I think that like it's the backroom people, I feel like Alan, like people like Paddy, the kit man, who've really gone the extra mile to make it feel like we're back home. And we are no longer wondering. You know, I think it's such a proud moment as someone who's from the local community. So I grew up around this area, and I think it's just nice to finally have somewhere where, you know, my neighbours are coming to come and watch it. You know, I went to the garage the other day before a game. They're going, "Oh yeah, you're Cray Wanderers physio. I'll be there later on to come and see you." I think it's just been so lovely to have a community again and to have like a bit of pride of where we come from. You know, Bromley was lovely. I didn't get you wrong. It's lovely, and I think I'd call Bromley my home because of sort of through Cray. And now it's just lovely to see. They sort of have Dino in the kitchens and to have Paddy in his little kit cupboard and to have a real place that's ours and to defend it.
How
Hopefully
was
keep it nice and tidy in its
Paddy got a cupboard and you've got a full scale room?
I'll be honest with you, I'm
Yeah.
trying to oust him from the cupboard still. I want the cupboard for my stuff. Do you know what it is? We work really close together. I actually love Paddy so much. I've never had a kit man I've loved so much. But he's actually a little blinder. I think it's a sign of how much we work together. And I think being backroom staff, I mean, being together and having that little corner that's ours is so lovely. Not so much when we can't share very well, but we're doing all right so far. There's been no fights, Gaffer, yet, have there?
None yet. No, I know them.
We've even got our own beer, mate, as well.
Oh,
Really?
crikey,
You
look
can
at that.
come down and get a pint of the water when you come down to the ground these days.
Happy days.
He's back again. You
He's
can't
back.
keep him
Here
off
he
the
is.
camera. Just going back to that cup as well, the FA Cup, right? I think it was quite unique as well what happened to us because the week before we played Larkfield, their VARs game was called off. And 5 minutes before kickoff, I'm out on the turf side helping out because we had quite a big crowd coming in late towards the end. Just 5 minutes before kickoff, coach pulls in, load of lads getting off in tracksuits. I'm thinking, what the hell is this? Who's turning up at this time of the day? And the game was called off. Meant a bit Selsey Bill in the VARs called off. They came here, mate. And fair play to them. They give it to us a little bit, didn't they? Smudge, if we're honest, on our own turf.
Yeah,
And that added a bit of spice, I
good
think, to the
era.
game. And it just reminds you, like, you know, that is your chance. They reminded me when I played for Cray in the 90s, we weren't a great side. And when you had a chance in the FA Cup to upset someone, you'd done everything you could to try and upset them. And I think, you know, it was a bit poetic when we ended up finally getting rid of them and stuffing them like that. I've got to be honest with you.
Two of our ex-players was their managers as well, man. Danny Lyon, and Mickey Phillips. So yeah, he's good.
I mean, what was your crowds before moving into, you know, when he was at Bromley? I mean, have you seen that gone up because you're now in your own
Ah,
ground?
yeah, substantially. Yeah, there was 300 to sort of 500 on a big game, and so far our lowest crowd is 565, and
Yeah, we was close to averaging 250s down here, you know, and you was getting games where you got 120 people some nights on a Tuesday if it weren't so good, and we was doing all we could to engage with Bromley season ticket holders. And you just, it's mad. It's 6 miles up the road, but it's not a good 6 miles. You know, if you get stuck in traffic going from here to Bromley,
There's no public transport links
nah.
and that sort of stuff,
And
so.
we've done a lot of work in the office here. We've got a big map up, mile radius around the ground. We've done a lot of effort into trying to get out into the community. It's great what Ali said. The amount of times I'm locally getting something in the shops or picking up a bit of lunch, people see the badge. People are starting to recognise the badge and, yeah, you know, yeah, and say, "Oh yeah, I've got my season ticket. I'm coming down Saturday." Great feeling. I mean,
There's so many new like on Saturday. There's so many people that I didn't even recognise with shirts and scarves and stuff, which is, so encouraging for the future.
and that had to be a good result on Saturday, didn't it? Horsham. I mean, Horsham got to be one of the ones' favourites at least to get into the playoffs as well.
Like I said, another good team, sort of averaging around 1,000, so each game. So, and they've been together really for 2, 3 years, that team. So they are a good team.
So, I mean, you know, looking next, that will be Wingate
Yeah,
and Finch.
they'll be up there or thereabouts.
Wingate and Finchley next, Neil.
Yes, another tough game. You know, they were in the playoffs last season and a fantastic season. Obviously, not started as well as they probably want to. We're expecting a tough game. You know, all games now. Everyone wants to play at Cray. Everyone wants to beat Cray because it's the new stadium. It's the new pitch. There's all the hoo-ha about it. So, you know, the boys will be prepared. We'll train tomorrow. We'll train Thursday. And like the chairman said, we want to try and get a good run for him and, you know, the directors and the supporters, obviously.
And then you got after your nice trip to the seaside.
Yeah,
Yeah, Bognor,
Bognor. You know,
yeah.
again, they're another team that are probably underachieving at the moment. Had another good season last year. I think they've got a few injuries, and within Robbie Blake, they've got a good manager. So, you know, they're all tough. I think it's been said, you know, this league just gets, you know, I've only been in it a couple of years now, and I'm just looking at it going, you know, there's any one of 10 to 12 teams that could be in and around the playoffs. You know, there's some fantastic budgets out there. There's some big, you know, attendances. And it's just only going to get harder each year.
And as you say, you look at that league, and it's just mental with some of the names that are in it now. And you know, a few years ago, some of these teams would have been a distance apart in the actual sort of echelons of non-league, and now everybody sort of seems to be congregating. You've even got Hendon back in there as well, with Lee Allenson and his dad back in as well. So I mean, I know they're over the moon to be back in, but that doesn't make it any easier because, you know, they're back in there as well, another sort of localish derby as such around that area. And so it's you just look at it, and I was just trying to see. I was just about to say, well, you've got an easy one there or an easy one there, but every time I kept flicking it up on football web pages, it's just another big name after another big name.
No, that's right. As I said, there's no easy games. Even the teams that are down the bottom, you know, your Chessens, who obviously 2 years ago were in the division above, come down the year before. You know, you've got Hastings who had a good season, but you've got your Dovers in there. You know, Dartfords, Dulwich. You know, these are big clubs. You know, they've been higher than this. So, you know, it just shows you how tough this league is. You know, Chatham again. Whitehall had a good season last year. You could go through everyone individually and point out, you know, that they're a strong side, but we've just got to worry about ourselves. As I say, you know, we haven't had the start we wanted. As I say, we just got to get that consistency, get the boys believing in themselves, and actually making that home our place. I think Ali said it about walking around it and having little rooms that your own. But that ground's ours, and the boys have got to be proud to be playing in such a fantastic stadium.
Do you think that's what it is? You know, for you know, not the start you wanted. Do you think that is just consistency, or is it everything sort of rolled into one brand new stadium? You know, new surface, same surface, but a different surface. If you know what I mean, to play on, to get used to, and do you think that's what's?
Yeah, then and new players again. Brought in new
Mean,
players, you know, two fullbacks are new. You know, we brought in Charlie, you know, Edwards. We've got Dave Smith. You've got our wingers, and we're still gelling. You know, we had different players in pre-season, and you know what it's like at this level. There's a lot of players that sort of come in and sort of have a chance, probably don't take it. Then there's someone else that comes along, and you've just got to find the balance of getting the right players, sticking with them for a little bit, and hopefully getting that team spirit.
Does that help having somebody like Ali giving out sweets every week as well? That helps with the
My dentist ain't too pleased. I
He
don't
gets the
mind them,
most
but
sweets,
yeah.
David. He gets the most sweets. Don't let him lie to you.
Dave, I've just looked here. I've got a fixture list. I have it printed out next to my laptop here, just keeping an eye on it. And the next few weeks are just chaos as well at our level, because if you get a good run, which we're all hoping, you know, FA Cup, FA Trophy starts early October. In the next one, two, three, four, five, six, seven games, you could have six of them rearranged if you're still in the trophy and the cup. So it's a mad one, because we were desperately trying to promote locally in shops about the new ground, new fixtures, and you stick a fixture list up. We managed to get the first five games because we knew they were nailed on.
Yeah.
But the rest of it's just a bit of a lottery at the moment about when we're going to be playing. Is it a Tuesday night? Is it a Saturday? So it is a strange time, I think, for the teams at our level, where you've got all this interruption of cup dropping in and dropping out. And I hope we stay in all the cups as long as we possibly can. I'm not even going to tell you how far I've tracked it because I don't want to jinx it. But
go to Wembley.
W Wembley.
But yeah, I mean, not be funny though. Does it give you sort of confidence that, you know, you're talking about the FA Trophy more than the FA Cup, but the FA Trophy, does it give you guys sort of confidence when you see the likes of Hornchurch get doing it, you know, during COVID? And then, you know, and even, you know, last year, I was lucky enough to be at non-league day. I was media man for Romford, you know, and getting to sort of be everywhere behind the scenes at, in Wembley, et cetera, et cetera. Does that sort of give you sort of some kind of confidence that, you know, if, you know, Romford are there, you know, Great Wakering were there, Hornchurch were there in the last few years, all teams that have all been in the Isthmian League, you know, most of their time in existence. So, I mean, does that give you sort of, you know, hope that you can actually do it?
Yeah, for a good run, yeah. Definitely a good run. Like I say, we've never had any luck in the FA Trophy or the FA Cup, and statistics say probabilities, you've got to have a bit of luck one season. So, yeah, so. Hopefully this is the one. So, but if it's not, it's not, and it might be next season. So, and that's a good thing about the beauty of the cup, isn't it? You never know, is it? You know, the amount of times I've looked in the FA Cup when there's been teams in the lower divisions, and you're suddenly watching them in the first or the third round, you think, can't believe they're in the first and the th or the third round, second or third round, but they are. It's just, you know, just a, like say, we just beat Larkfield 8-0. We had 0-0 away, scraped through really. So on that one, was a little bit lucky on the way, but sort of that's in my mind, that's a good, good.
He must have had a few too many beers. We drew one all down here.
Oh, one all. Sorry, yeah. 0-0 on Saturday, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about that. I got a 0-0 on Saturday. I'm not drinking. That's what.
Yeah, it's just
I've gone off the booze for a week. Oh, it's killing me.
Again,
yeah, I lose a bit of weight. So that's the one bit that's thrown me.
Names on the cup, then, isn't it?
It's first round, but
it's great though. Like the girl, their women's first team, first time they've ever been in FA Cup. You know, they went down the road, down in Gillingham there, and played whatever it was down there. They're league above us, you know. And we've gone and nicked a really good 3-0 win down there. The girls were brilliant. They've had another good win yesterday. And if you suddenly get both of the teams winning two or three rounds, it's not just great for the club, but financially, as CEO, it is good for the club financially as well, obviously. So, you know, it is a real opportunity for us to progress. And I think sometimes having them little cup runs and getting that result, they turn around your other form as well when you just get on a bit of a roll.
I mean, I was talking to Chris Newby last night, because Romford manager, and he said he had to rebuild his old team at the beginning of this season because of, you know, stuff that happened and lost most of their, I think they kept one out of their FA Vars winning team. And he was saying that, you know, they found out that they're going straight into round two of the FA Vars, which is four games away from Wembley. And of course, he said he started using that as a bargaining tool to try and get some players in. We're only four games away from Wembley. I mean, you ever tried anything like that, Neil?
No. I did promise Bromley when I first took over that I'd get them to Wembley. Jerry Dulkey, and I'd love to do the same with Cray and get them as close as I can to it, because you've only got to have lucky draws. You've only got to be lucky in that one game. It's not like a league where you've got to be, you know, consistent over that 46 game season. A cup, you just got to turn up on the day. Hope they have a bad day, you have a good day, and you can go as far as you can. You'd love to. You want to try and put the club on the map, and that's what it's for. You know, if you can put the club out there, and a lot more people can find out that there's another local little club up the road to go and watch, then you know that we've got to use as much as we can to, as we say, build that club from the bottom up.
I mean, Annie, what's it like to be amongst all these guys? Because, I mean, these guys must be a laugh a minute every single day. Meet a minute.
Yeah, it's a cracking team to work for. So I did the mistake of going away for a little bit, having a little hiatus in East London, and then coming back round to Cray. I think that, you know what? I think it's good to leave, but it was even better to come back. I think I put it that way. I think I've never worked for a team where they're so welcoming, where they're so kind, where they generally... They don't really care about you. I think when you walk in, and you know, it's the first thing you get is Sam saying, "Oh, Gail, how are you getting on?" And you know, you walk into the changing room, and the boys sort of they're great to work with, and they're incredibly respectful, and they're incredibly good at what they do as well as footballers. And I mean, not to make Smudger too blush too much, he's one of those gaffers that you just enjoy working for. I think, you know, he generally listens to what you say, and he cares about what you have to say, and he involves you in his decisions. And I think that with that sort of feeding down to the whole team, it makes everyone feel so wanted and so needed in the team, which everyone needs, right? Trying to get in the football club, no one wants to feel like they're surplus to requirements. And I think coming back to Crewe, I was a little bit nervous, to be honest, because I thought, oh, you know, I'm going back to work with Neil Smith, who frankly was a league of, many leagues above me when I was at Crewe. I wasn't quite sure how they get on with me coming back, but it's been probably the best decision I've made in my career, which I think it's testament that I've stayed here this season. I put it that way, David. I think there was a bit of a umming and ahhing in the summer, and I think I never ummed and ahed once about Craig. I think I just knew I had to be here this year. That's a testament to what these guys have built around me, and I think I can never thank them enough for making me a little home and making me somewhere where I feel generally like I'm a real physio now. I've never had a club where I'm a real physio, because I've never had a room, I've never had a proper home, I've never had a stable setup, and now I've got a fridge full of Red Bull and I live my best life, right? What more can I ask for?
The only thing you need now is some doors on your cupboards.
I know,
Won't quite
honestly,
manage that
yeah, I
one.
mean that's just to keep Paddy out of my Red Bulls, to be honest with you, Sam. I have to get a child lock soon.
Yeah.
Gary, she wasn't saying that before you came on. What she's after is a cooker,
Yeah.
microwave.
Oh no, I'll be cooking them all dinner. I'm not having that, Dave. Immediately no.
So, I mean, listen,
Steve's job, isn't
how difficult of a decision was it over the summer for you though, Ali? Because of course your other side have now gone Saturday as well. So,
Yeah.
you know, was it a tough decision to start crying or?
It was a bit of a head and heart argument in that obviously the Dons are great guys that I've grown up with. I think, you know, Zach, I've known since we were children. Andy's like pretty much the second dad to me. That's about the other boys. And we're basically a family. And I think that it was hard in the respect that I knew that I had to stay at Cray. I knew that I'd made a commitment to Cray. I think because I've left before, and I was like, I left and it felt wrong to leave in some respects, and it felt great to come back. I was like, I'm not done with Cray just yet. Me and Cray haven't finished our business. Obviously, I'm not getting much younger as a physio, and I've got other plans in my long term future. But I think it was a gut reaction that I think is completely right. So it was hard in some ways, but I think it was easy in others. That makes sense, Dave. I think this club is on the up. I think I'm not. I mean, obviously Dons are on the up as well. I won't do them the disservice, but I think that when you go around Cray, there's generally a buzz around the club at the moment. And every time I come here, there's something new, there's something bright, there's something better than it was last week. And I think it'll be foolish for me to not be a part of that, because it's such an inspiring environment. And I think, you know, working with Gaff was amazing. I think I couldn't work with a better manager than Neil Smith, I'll be honest with you. Not if I wanted to. I couldn't work with somebody better than him. And that's one of the reasons why I stayed without even thinking about it, because I think I owe him a little bit for last year. And I owe him. I owe him a good run. I owe him no injuries this season. I owe him getting him a squad every week that will do the business. Hopefully, I've done that so far, Gaffer, and the wine gums as well. We won't mention
You've done
that.
more than you've done more than
Yeah.
Ali. You're an amazing person. The players respect you. I respect you, and I'll always ask your opinion before I even make a decision on someone. And I think having that, you know, that belief in each other, I think shows to the players as well. They can't sometimes the physio with someone you can sort of get round for certain things. Not a chance. We work together well, and it's a pleasure having you as part of the team, and it really is.
See, how can I not be happy, David? Look what I'm working with. Like, it's
She's really trying for those doors on her cupboard, isn't she?
honestly, I don't want a cover. I want a lock on the.
She said that whenever she comes in here, I'm like, "How are you doing?" The other thing I'm always saying is, Ali, have a sort. Can you sort my back out as well? I'm in
Always.
bits at the moment with my back. I've been having a right nightmare the last
Yeah.
few weeks, so
I won't
we'll
lie,
get all
David. He's
that
got a new
together.
physio, though. It's Kent's strongest man. I can't compete anymore.
Yeah, I did see him the other day. Yeah, he's
He,
looking a bit of
no,
a lump. He's just run me, funny enough, asked me how I'm getting on. He's coming back to see me Friday, and I'm like, "Oh, mate, someone
I
recommended
nearly
me this
signed
bloke,
him at the
mate."
back.
He turned up. He's massive. And his favourite word was pain. Are you in pain? Like, well, he had his elbow into me.
I know you. How are you
Yeah.
paying him with Herbalife?
No, mate. That's separate from my football club. That is. That's a sideline of my own, mate.
So how many cups have you got Herbalife in your
visit? I've got to dive, guys. I'm really sorry, but I've got a youth team meeting upstairs. So if, Gal, you want to stay on, you're welcome. Or we're going to be a little while probably. So
yeah, I'll come in at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, always a pleasure, mate.
That was, mate.
Mudge, yes, Ali, see you tomorrow night, yeah?
See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Yeah, it was David's show.
He's going for a back massage, really. That's where he's going. I want to tell you. Or he's going out to sell a bit of Herbalife, hasn't he, round the corner. He's got all the youth people down there trying to get rid of it a bit more.
It's good, like the bar's even open tonight and there's loads of people playing. And, you know, we've had teething problems, which is really good teething problems, and how to serve the beer quicker and how to serve the food quicker. So, you know, how good are those teething problems where you're sort of like worried that people are queuing too long for a beer or a food, which we're gradually, and you can see every week it's getting better and better. So, but you know, we've never ever sold a pint of beer or never ever sold a cheeseburger. And now we're selling thousands and thousands all day long. Right? So,
but Gary, talk us through the timeline, you know, that since you know, what how long was it from the minute you actually got sort of signed off to say that you know, that you could build the ground? I mean, what was the process around that as well?
Yeah, well, there was a bit of, it would make a really good film or a really good book, really, going through, because it got right wrapped up in the Sadiq Boris Johnson and Sadiq Khan. It was like really at the top end politically behind the scenes, like, so yeah, it was so intense on that bit. And then when we did get it, the problem was, because it was so long, and literally all the COVID and everything, construction costs went through the roof. We was trying to make, like, this is only phase one. We got a much bigger sort of picture on it, but we was trying to put the bigger scheme together, which you just couldn't, because of construction costs and a few other issues, we just couldn't put that together. So we said, right, let's just build the grounds, put a little stand in, which, like, you know, I'm very, very proud of my stand that I've been designing in my head for 20 years. And when you got standing behind it, and even Kelly Discipline was here on Saturday and said, oh, I'll find you a seat in the director's box. She said, no, I like standing behind the, like, we've got standing behind the seats, which just sort of developed from the Dartford Football Club and even sort of Bromley Football Club when I'd done the director's box and was standing up back there. So, yeah, so there's been a lot of sort of delays, and then all of a sudden we got finance to do the pitch, and it was like, all right, let's crack on and bang, let's get it done, like, you know, which we managed to do in a sort of short period of time.
Did you guys sort of go to any other sort of newer sort of grounds just to get some ideas?
I've done all the 92 clubs. So I've done the 92 clubs, and literally for the last, all my life, or 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, every ground I used to go to, you know, I normally ask them, what would you, like, especially when it's a new ground, what would you change? You know, what is done wrong? So instead of saying what's done right, what's done wrong? And it's just little things that they've said that have done wrong. And hopefully, and even I think we played Western Supermare away in the trophy, and went down there, and I was going to do the concrete hard standing literally about the start of Monday, and I had this little step up all the way around. I thought, right, I'm going to copy that. So I've copied that. So each little bit, I've got Western Supermare down the bottom, I've got Dartford standing at the back, and it's all little bits of each different grounds, all sort of, hopefully I've nicked all their good ideas. Like, yeah.
How much did you nick from Bromley?
Yeah, well, it was funny when I was sort of doing all the Bromley work. Robin used to say to me, what are you going to do with your new ground? And I used to say, well, I'm going to do this to your ground, and if it's right or wrong, if it's wrong, I'm not going to do it my ground. If it's right, I am going to do it. He weren't too impressed most of the time when I said that, but it was the truth, like. So, but I think Bromley, you know, proud of what I've done at Bromley. It's turned out really well. Like, well, you know, it's all down to Robin, what he's achieved there, obviously, you know, smudged before, and but Robin, the amount of money he's spent and stuff around the ground. And yeah, it's like football, proper football league ground, and the sort of directors that we went during COVID when Cray weren't playing, went to a few Bromley away games. And literally, you know, I think if you ever look at the director's box at Bromley, I think that's on par with any, you know, any sort of football league ground or anything in the director's box of Bromley, which I sort of designed, which I was very proud of.
I mean, Neil, I mean, we're at the start of the season, knowing what's coming up. I mean, how sort of matches do you have to, well, with the team itself, how many sort of came back? How much of a rebuild did you have to do?
Yeah, we still had to do a rebuild. I think we kept about six players, keeper. You know, Tom Bonner come in late last season. We kept him, Dave, Cookie, Nyron, Frankie Raymond. You know, so we kept them, a few of them, let a lot go. And it's always a rebuild. And I'm hoping that we can get to a situation where we can keep more players every season. But unfortunately, we lose a few of them to either we've had them on loan and they go back to the parent club, or they've actually gone up above in the divisions as well, you know. And so it's not a bad thing, you know. But we brought in a fair few new players this season. And we're just hoping that they can start gelling now. You know, we've gone three games unbeaten. Obviously, two cup games and now the League One. And as I say, we've got another cup game on Saturday where, you know, they're all big games. And they're big games because we want to win them all.
I mean, with all your contacts, and though, you know, in the game higher up, does that cause you more problems when maybe your managers are calling you going, Smudge, you know, look, we've seen your striker, or you've seen your goalkeeper, or whatever else, you know, do you reckon you can play at step two, step one? I mean, does that sort of phone call sort of come through to you?
Yeah, you get a few of them, and you do what's best for the, you know, you want to do best for the club, but I also want to do best for the player. You know, I don't want to ever stop or hinder someone from going on and achieving their potential, you know, because hopefully the next person that comes along has heard how you treat players. You treat them with honesty, you treat them with respect. And if they're too good for you and they move on, then, you know, you look at Kellen Fisher, you know, he's been called up, played for us on loan from Bromley. I had him as a kid at 15, 16, trained with the first team. He's now playing for the England under 20s. You know, that's just a fantastic story. Ben Crowhouse, again, in the same youth team that we sort of developed from the academy, signing for Brentford. It's brilliant because they come to Cray and, you know, they trusted that we were good enough for them. With, you know, Palace have phoned me up and offering me players, Crystal Palace. And, you know, you've got sometimes you're very lucky and you get a good one in and, you know, you jump all over it. But you hope you get a reputation that the other clubs are quite happy for you to look after their players, because that's what you're doing until they go back. And the ones that do go on to other things and better, you hope that they spread the word of saying what a good club and how well they're looked after as well.
Yeah. I mean, so you haven't been offered Eze yet then?
Funny story. Don't know whether I should tell you, but yeah. we'll keep it there. Although, I've got an even better story. When I was at Bromley, I was told that I had a load of players that I could go and have a look at. So I went over there just by Heathrow, and I'm watching, and I've gone out to Mark Bertram, and I went, after about 15 minutes, he was the manager of the under-21s or the B team, whatever it was. And I went, oh, I like the 10. He went, yeah. I went, well, I can have him, can't I? He went, no, you can't have him. I went, why not? He went, he's worth about £15 million. And it was Eze then, as a young kid. I tried to bring him into Bromley, but yeah, no, it was, yeah, maybe the... Maybe there's a story I could tell you later on, Dave.
All right, mate. Do you have a scenario, though? If you then get one of these bigger clubs come down and look for one of your players, you shut on the bloke to Gary and says, get him on a contract quick.
Well, that's what, yeah, you know, it's one of them, you know, it's very hard to you get your players on contracts, but it's probably the younger ones.
Yeah.
The older ones, you know, probably you sort of have on contract, but you know that they're not going to go anywhere because not many clubs are going to come in for your older players in the league. The younger ones, you've got to make sure you look after. And as I say, if anyone does come in, then you just got to cover yourself for the sake of the club, really.
And does it make your life a little bit more easier? As you know, Sam, you know, they were saying earlier on around the fact that, you know, you've got more teams now as well, you know, that you can get to see on your pitch rather than having to go different places to go and find them. Does that make the sort of, your sort of in-house scouting, shall we say, a lot easier if you've got players that are in the, you know, in the older age groups that you can keep an eye on, get a close eye on?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Yeah, so the under-16s, under-17s, under-18s, and sort of train before we do on a Thursday. So we get in early, myself, Tim, and Alfie, and we go and watch them train. And if anyone, you know, if we need numbers, they can then come and join our squad of training. We went and watched the, I went and watched the 23s on the Friday at home, you know, playing on at Flamingo Park. And, you know, we have a great win, and someone does come and show out. So you just keep in contact. We've got Roy, who's taking the 23s at the moment. Roy Brook is doing a fantastic job. So we stay in contact, and you know, that's the whole point. You want to bring your own players through as much as you can, because I've seen it work. I've seen it work. They play for Cray. They love to play for Cray, and you know, you get that little bit more than someone who's just coming in to play for you.
I mean, do you, as you're sort of under 23s and as you said, 18, 17, 16, do they all play the same system as the first team? So you can easily slot them in? Or is that something you say to those managers, look, can you play?
Well, we've tried a couple of systems. No. We'd like them to play the same way as the first team. Like I say, we had a different system we started the season with to what we've got now. They're playing that sort of system in and around it. But you know a player, when you see a player, you know they'll be out fitting. And, you know, as I say, if they've done well on the Friday when they play for the 23s, come tomorrow and Thursday, they'll join in with us anyway, and they can see what we're looking in certain positions and what we're looking for certain players.
So, I mean, Ali, yourself, I mean, are you sort of, how do you see yourself? I know this is going to be a silly question to ask you because it will be, but do you see yourself as first team physio, or do you see yourself as club physio?
I'm pretty much club. I think everyone's welcome to come and see me, as long as it's not when I'm meant to be sorting out the first team lads, because they get a slight priority. But honestly, like, I'm just happy to help out at the club. I think they've helped me out enough. So we try and make a little community in the club as well. So if one of the sort of the ladies team have an injury, they can come and give me a shout. We train the same night, so it's quite convenient. Or if one of Roy's boys have got any issues, they can come in and see me. I think it's just good to have access to somebody who can help them. That's about retreating most of the league some weeks, if I'm being honest, David. I won't lie. Never before a game, though, Gaffer, don't worry. I'll sort them out proper. But essentially, it's one of those things, I think, like, I feel like it's always trying to be available for our rest of our youth team. I think it's good to have... You know, sort of the youth teams come in and sort of do our mascot stuff and change them before the game last week, and it was lovely to see them getting like the player signatures, and it's good for them to have some peers to look up to. That's an achievable level, you know, in football. I think that these kids can play for Cray Wanderers one day, so I think it's good to give them sort of positive role models to look up to, whether that's in the game or sort of as an adult to the game. I first got into physio because my brother had a physio at his club that I really looked up to, and he took me under his wing when I was sort of quite young, so it's probably the reason why I've got my job I've got now. So it's only good to give back, isn't it, David?
It's the only person that's banned is Sam now, yeah, because of, you know, just sort of going to the dark side.
Honestly, I'm not Kent's strongest man, so I can't really compete, can I? Not yet. I'll try.
I mean, we all know as well. I mean, is there any more to do? Do you've got more sort of like ambitions, Gary, to do anything else with the ground? If, you know, and is it open? Like, if you get, say, for instance, this year you got promoted into step two or whatever else, is the ground sort of adaptable for that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we have got planning. We've only built the little stand, which looks like a proper stand, it's like proper, like old school concrete and metal. Didn't really want one of the sort of metal-y standing on the metal stand, so I think it's a really nice stand. But we have got planning the other side for a 100-meter long stand, proper singing and dancing stand. But that's the bit that costs a lot of money, which the residential enabling development was going to pay for it, but because of the construction costs, it costs us the same amount of money to build it than it does to sell it. So yeah, it's not bringing no money to the table to do it. But yeah, there's always little bits. We're always enhanced. Like, I've even got me tape here and going out and measuring a few bits and doing a few more other ideas already. So it's never ending, which is good. There's so much space around it. Everyone comes in and says about Corey, you know, you can see that you can do a lot to this ground, where quite a few of the grounds are preempting, you know, between residential or whatever. And so we've got a lot of space around which we can sort of enhance. And we've got this big standing area when people come through the turnstiles behind the goal. And I think that's really, which it's sort of raised up. So you're overlooking, and you've got the bar behind. And then the sun comes up sort of midday just behind the pavilion, and literally all day, and goes down over the pitch. So it's very photographical, you know. Every time you see a photo of it, it looks really good, the ground as well. So yeah, so sort of really, yeah, just really pleased there it's all come together.
But as chairman, you know, sitting in the office that you are, and that, it must be amazing just to see all the kids out there playing, and it must be a lifelong dream, all, you know, almost coming true for you.
And so we've got a I haven't spent much time with the youth team, which I'm feeling guilty for, guilty about, but it's all concentrating on this, and then we're not never all been together. So I literally got all the youth team managers I'm going to see after this, and sort of, you know, literally I want to tell them they are the future, which they are. You know, I'm 60 years old now, been here since I'm 30, so I don't know whether I'll be here another 30 years, but I'll make it. So yeah, it's the future. The club's been going for a very, very, very long time. So that's always been a bit of, you know, weight off my shoulders, really, is if I was involved with a club and it folded, you know, London's oldest football club, it's a lot of pressure to keep going. So we're in this situation now when I go over and get run over by a bus tonight, I'm pretty confident the club will survive. When if I'd done that sort of when we was ground chair in Bromley or a few years ago, I'm not quite sure whether it would have done that, especially around this area where a lot of clubs have gone. Slade, you know, Rob Green was here from Slade Green on Saturday, which is nice. Obviously, lost Slade Green, Darren Feivstein, Crokinhill playing very low level, you know, sort of around this area where I think sometimes local authorities haven't been very supportive. Like, they just couldn't under, like, you know, when we was doing our planning application, you go into the planning committee, and the, you know, people making the decisions couldn't understand football, and they said, like, well, why can't you just put a couple of jumpers down for goalposts and play in the local park, you know? And they was like, those being serious, those being serious, they just don't understand it. But I think now this is up and running, where they've seen how much we've brought bringing to the community in the area with all the teams playing here and all coming down. You know, it's been amazing, and I think it's been an eye-opener with London Borough of Bromley. Have never been the most sort of sporting biggest borough in London. Didn't want nothing, you know, publicly said didn't want nothing to do with the Olympics in 2012, and when they had the Athletic Centre, you know, National Athletic Centre in their borough, which wasn't used, and it's sort of derelict at the moment. So they've never been that sort of understanding sport. But I think the last few years, because of what Bromley have done and because of what we've done now, I think they've sort of started understanding how much it brings to the whole area and the community.
Well, I was doing a bit of research beforehand, and I didn't know if he was going to be, you know, I spoke to Sam whether you could come on or not. And I was actually going back through some of the podcasts that I'd got on Audio Boom that we did and downloaded, and there's one on there from right back in series two, and which is series 14 now, and series two when we actually spoke to you live on the telephone, and literally when we were talking that day about you being the nomads and bouncing from one place to another. I can't remember exactly where you were at the time, but you know, we were talking then, and I think you was a little bit like, oh, there's a chance that we might be able to get our own ground, et cetera, probably about 13 years ago. And you know, it just shows you the perseverance that you've put in to get, you know, sort of 13 years time, you know, you finally managed to sort of
Yeah, well, we actually took out the first option piece of land in 2005. So that is 19 years ago. You know, 2012, we got the first application refused. A couple of local councillors voted against it. I said to them, right, see the next local election, I'm gonna get you voted out. So like, I spent a lot of time. There was another local leader of the council, I shouldn't mention, who was very helpful. And obviously, with the looking back at what Charlton done with the bringing him back to the valley, when they got all the planning committee out, that was the only way to do it. And when these two local councillors voted against it, I said, see you next local election, I'm going to get you out. So, like, you know, I'm not proud of it. It could have been Monster Raving Lunar Party. It could have been anyone, but it did happen to be UKIP, but I'm not proud of it. So I phoned up UKIP. Cut a long story short, the only two councillors get voted out in Bromley was the two that voted against us. So then, you know, eyes started opening in London Borough, Bromley. Then the next one went through, and Boris, because it's Green Belt, it has to go to the mayor. So it went to Boris Johnson. So Boris Johnson said, "Yeah, Bromley approve it. When it comes back, I'll approve it." But so we're opening the bottles of champagne, thinking we got insurer, got the approval. When it's gone back, Sadiq Khan's coming, isn't he? So his first Green Belt application was ours. And his manifesto, nothing to do with green, you know, don't want no development in Green Belt. I can always remember I was driving back from France, the Euros in 2016. My phone has just gotten red hot. I've got traders in London going, you've been refused planning. I said, what's that about? I said, yeah, it's just come up and write us. So come up and write us. Sadiq Khan's refused, Grey Wanderers. Oh, so then we've had to go back in again. So then we've gone back in again. So I had to get it through the Conservatives at Bromley. So the Conservatives at Bromley sort of voted it through. And then once I've led it Conservative Bromley, I've had to then jump ship and get it through with the Labour with Sadiq Khan. And then Sadiq Khan refused his first 32 Greenbelt applications. Berkeley Homes, all the best town planners, barristers, you know, QCs, all up spending tens of millions of pounds on planning. And his 33rd Green Belt application was ours, and he passed it, like, you know. So it was a battle.
On a funny side, do you think all those three, you know, the two councillors and Sadiq Khan, were all members of the club that used to be there before you?
Well, a strip club. No, it's just the madness. It's just, and it was just totally madness when everyone deep down knew it was the best thing, but it's just that stigma of development on Green Belt, which is a vote loser. Mm. And it's just, you know, need to educate the public what Green Belt actually is. You know? So but anyway, we're here now. So
every day. I mean, one last question, it'd be wrong of me not to ask, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, you know, and, you know, but the last time we spoke and the last time we saw each other, in fact, you were golden brown and just come back from Croatia. That morning, I mean, how is the career of your young lady doing? And you know, how well is she going?
Yeah, she's had a really difficult 8 months. She missed out on the Olympic trials through two broken ribs. So, and even Ali's been looking after her as well. I've tapped into Ali. She's been amazing. But she's now fully fit now and just back in training. And unfortunately, missed, not saying she would have got selected, but she missed out on all that build up to it, and her season starts in November, and hopefully fully back training, and hopefully get on the cycle for next Olympics. I think it's in a nicer place as well, so you know, LA. So yeah, fingers crossed for her.
Was the injury a diving injury?
No, believe it or not, she'd had a bit of a weakness. I think it's a stress and coughed. So when I'm hearing about that Burnley player that sneezed and couldn't play because he pulled his back, my daughter coughed really badly, having a bad cold, and actually broke a rib from it. Oh, and then, yeah, and then sort of got back and then did it again. But no, touch wood, fingers crossed, all good. And you know, back training hard.
Yeah, good, good. Well, we wish you all the very, very best, and hopefully we do see you in LA.
So do I.
So,
that's a nice one, yeah.
Well, listen,
David, can I be a little bit cheeky? Can I just say a massive hello to Bill? He's watching tonight. He's really missed you, Bill, at the club. He's not been too well, but he's backing us again on Saturday. Bill, love you to bits, and we'll see you Saturday, mate.
Yeah, I've been phoning up. Yeah.
See you Saturday, Bill.
He's our old goalkeeping coach. He's 90 years old. Yeah,
he's been on the show before. He's
legend. Yeah, he's not been too well, David, but he's back at home now, and we miss him very much.
And we wish him all the best as well. Get down there as well. That could be the missing link for that.
It is the missing link. I thought we're missing Bill.
We are missing Bill.
But stay on once we finish, because I just say to ask both of you guys as well. But listen, we've got to go because we've got to let Gary get back to his meeting and try and stop Sam from selling that Herbalife to all the kids upstairs. So we'll let you go as quick as you can. But a massive thank you, everybody, for watching tonight. And it's been fantastic catching up with Neil and Gary and, of course, Ali and, of course, Sam as well. We'll be back next week, same time, 7 o'clock, for the Repost Non-League Show. Thanks for watching. And for now, good night.